Today on Older and Wiser, some questions worth considering. Is daylight savings time a big waste of time? Some states are ditching it. Yours might be next. What do you do when you hear on the news that your favorite food is bad for you? Do you stop eating it? Or do you turn off the news? We're going to talk about that today. Plus, how do you greet your friends? With a handshake or a hug? Your answer could say a lot about you. We've got some interesting research on that one. Plus, is your cat plotting to kill you? Believe it or not, some experts say yes. I'm Bob Bates in Los Angeles, along with Susan Sikora, joining us from beautiful Northern California. Glad you're with us today for Older and Wiser. Okay, well, let's get started. We recently just flipped our clocks back an hour. Mm-hmm. And I, for one, I'm kind of sick and tired of doing it. I don't think I'm the only one.
Wait a minute. Yeah. You're getting lazy. And let me tell you why. Because I am not Miss Technology, but a lot of this stuff now does it on its own. The phones do it on their own. There's atomic clocks that do it on their own.
That's true. Your iPhone, it's already, it fixes it for you. You don't have to bother. It isn't really the bother of it that annoys me. It's just... We do lose an hour of sleep or we gain an hour of sleep. I just don't see the advantage of it.
First of all, that's a myth. Can we take that on right there? Everybody goes, oh, you will gain an hour of sleep. Really? Your body is not going to adjust. If you go to sleep every night at 10 o'clock and all of a sudden you turn the clock back to 9, oh, well, I guess I'm sleepy now. I don't think that happens.
Hey, listen, there are a lot of states who have already decided we've had enough of this. Arizona is one. They just said, we're not doing this anymore. It doesn't help anything.
I lived in the Virgin Islands, and we never changed the clocks, and it was always daylight savings time.
Yeah.
So they didn't change anything last night,
And you survived, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was actually, I kind of liked it. I prefer daylight savings time. It sort of makes me feel like summer is here, even though, now, it wouldn't work if, obviously, you're living in a very cold climate and there's snow outside. It doesn't matter a whole lot. The problem, of course, is that when you change the clocks, it depends on where we're going to get the darkness. Are we going to get it early in the morning, or are we going to get it earlier in the afternoon?
Yeah.
And I hate it in the morning if I have to be someplace really early.
The idea came along in 1907, apparently. A man by the name of William Willett introduced British summertime in the UK, which is also known as daylight savings time. And the idea was just to have, he wanted people to stop wasting valuable hours of light during the summer mornings. The United States really didn't jump in big time until the energy crisis, I guess.
Yeah, much like we've embraced things like the metric system.
Yes, exactly, like the metric system. We love the metric system here in America.
I think we Americans, and I say we, so it's first person, I include myself, we tend toward the lazy in some of these things. Not always and not necessarily in the workplace, but...
So you think the reason people don't want to change it. Are we just lazy that we don't... Think about this. Think about if you owned a clock store and you had to change... All those Listen, in London, in the palace, Buckingham Palace, there's 500 mechanical clocks.
And so you're losing sleep.
Somebody's got to get paid to go around and turn the clocks back. Yeah.
In the London Palace.
I think that's a waste of manpower. Okay, so let's go from this very important topic of daylight savings time to a much, much more important topic. Okay, now here it is, and I lay it out here for you because I feel that it could be a real concern for anybody who has a cat in the house. And this is, does your cat secretly want to kill you?
I think that, is this written by a dog owner?
This was actually written by a journalist from The Telegraph, Mark Molloy.
Does he have a cat or a dog?
He probably has a cat.
Is he a cat person or a dog?
I think he's a cat person. But you know, you can have a cat and love a cat and still look into their eyes and say, I'm not quite sure what you're thinking.
All right, I'll tell you what. I had two cats, my last two cats, the little one, Scarlet, she used to bite. She did, and mostly she'd bite me. She didn't bite my husband.
And you didn't sense there was any hostility there.
She was a street fighter, but she was tiny. She was very tiny. So maybe it was compensation, and maybe it was just, you know, leave me alone. I'm with him. You get out of here.
Have you considered maybe she saw you as prey? just a little too large for her to actually conquer. That's all.
No. And her little teeth were so little because she was a very small cat. She must have been the runt of the litter or something. I'm sure. My husband would say, "Bite, mommy." You know, she would. You know,
see,
like,
so your cat could be goaded on to actually attack. This is what I'm saying.
But for her, I think it was a game. Yeah. Now, when she died, the other one took it over, and I thought, did she tell him to pick up where he left off, or she left off? I didn't know.
Well, listen, but, I mean, you know what? Here's the bottom line. Cats are cats. Cats are a part of the cat family, and they are predators by nature. They would, if they had the chance, capture, attack, and consume other animals, and we're animals. So this Dr. Max Wachtel, who this journalist had interviewed, she's a psychologist apparently, said, "They're cute and furry and cuddly, but we need to remember when we have cats as pets, we are inviting little predators in our houses. So, you know, for a lot of people, it's worth it. Cats can be fantastic until they turn on you."
I think Dr. Max needs to find something else to study. I'm sorry.
Not to belabor the issue of cats attacking, but you had to have heard about the story of the Connecticut man, Mohammed Lachman, called 911. This was about a year ago, I think, and told the 911 operator that he couldn't get back into his house because his cat was too aggressive and was not letting him come in. And called, the cops had to come to help fight off the cat. Mr. Lachman,
you're leaving out a part of the story.
The cat was giving birth and was trying to protect the little cats, of course.
Right.
But even so, he and his wife were forced to wait outside in their car in hopes that the cat would calm down.
I find this
until the police arrived.
You know, maybe people have to be a little more thoughtful. When I adopt a cat at a humane society, I ask the people who are there.
If he's a murderer, if he wants to kill me.
No, but we take the cat out and we see how, you know, cuddly he is or responsive to being hugged and
held.
Listen,
a cat that's being held in a prison, a cage, they'll go with anybody. Hey, they'll act real nice to get out of there until they can get into your house to kill you.
I don't think they're going to eat me. I wonder if when I walk out of the house.
What goes on inside?
No, I wonder if they actually speak total languages. You know, it's like, quick, they're coming. Don't let them know we talk.
And they do have facial expressions when you're not looking. It's only when you look at them that they have that dumb cat face that doesn't move. Okay, moving on. Our next question of the day, what would make you stop eating something you really like? You know, there's always stuff on the news almost every day about something that we like that is now not good for us. Well, just the other day, there was a report about processed meats, and that it's been determined that there's a cancer-causing something in processed meats. I'm not going to eat any more processed meats. I'm actually fine with getting rid of that from my diet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have lived without that for a long time. I don't eat a lot of red meat anyway, and I haven't done it for years.
And when somebody says that something that is out there that I'm eating potentially causes a heart attack, I'll stop eating it. And what about farm-raised salmon? Did you hear that story about that they've got antibiotics and drugs in them?
Well, you know, you hear this about meat too. You hear it about steak and you hear it about a lot of things. I mean, because they're using the drugs and pumping these animals up or making them more tender. I mean, you've heard it about veal, you've heard it about steak. And then you hear scares about sushi. Now, sushi?
Yeah.
Don't take my sushi. I love sushi, but
really?
I don't have sushi several times a week, nor do I even have it, you know, maybe even once or twice a month because first of all, it's expensive.
And I am a little concerned about sushi. I like sushi too. And, you know, when I go to a sushi restaurant, I just have to close my eyes and go, well, let's hope this isn't the one that puts me in the hospital. You know, I do worry about parasites in the fish. Mm-hmm. I wonder if the people behind the counter, have gotten the right fish and have kept it properly refrigerated.
And washed their hands.
Washed their hands.
And
my only hope there is that if these days with public social media like and review websites like Yelp, Mm-hmm. Listen, if you've got a restaurant and it makes people sick, Yelp will put you out of business.
If you know the source of your food, I think that's important. If you go to make, if you're going to make sushi at home, let's say,
and
you want to just slice.
No.
You can. We've done it. Actually, the sushi is with the rice. So if you're going to do sashimi, to be proper, and you're going to slice it, go and buy the best you can. Yeah. You're better off buying less and buy it really in a good place.
The one thing that worries me, like I did change the thing with chicken eggs because I saw a video in which, and I guess this is a common practice, they keep these chickens in cages very tightly packed.
Yes, now that's not new.
It's inhumane. And
that is not new.
I did not, but I didn't know it until I saw this video. So now I buy the cage-free chicken eggs in the store.
We don't want to see the sausage being made. We want the sausage. That's the way most of us are. But once you see that, if it makes an impression and it bothers you enough, you'll change your habits. I try to get things where if you look at the label,
it is what it is.
To me,
there's nothing in it but the thing, right?
That's right. Yeah. And the truth is, the less ingredients there are in that label, call me lazy there, but it's really lazy with a flip. And the flip is the less things that are there, the more likely it is I will eat it. Potato chips and olive oil because it's potatoes and olive oil and maybe a little salt. Not potato chips with a million chemicals that make it taste like bacon or something.
Did you hear about this new thing in which they've discovered that hot dogs, many hot dogs, 10% of veggie dogs, for example, actually have meat in them?
See, I would at that point, here's what I would do.
How can veggie dogs have meat in them? They just should have vegetables.
You think it's a mistake? No, it's probably for flavor. And they probably put a...
See, that's horrifying. There's also a report out that shows that some of these sausages have human DNA in them.
Yeah, I don't eat
And that's largely a result of hair and broken fingernails.
Oh, dear Lord.
In the sausage, this means that the workers who are, oh my God, I don't even want to think about how that happened.
When I buy sausage and literally, if I'm making the Thanksgiving turkey and I put in, because my mother even told me this little secret, she said, put in a little bit of, you don't have to put a lot, just a couple little pieces of really good sausage, sweet or hot, depending on how you want it. I usually use the sweet, which means it's not hot, and it flavors it.
Gives it a flavor, yeah.
But I don't use a lot, and that's maybe
tastes
more
just like fingernails.
My bottom line for food is this: keep it simple. Now, when they come out, I'll tell you what drives me completely off the charts is that if they come out and they say coffee's bad for you, because I don't care if coffee's bad for me, then I'm checking out.
The good thing about coffee is it has gone through study after study after study, and all they ever find is kind of good stuff. To be honest, you know, it's actually pretty good for you as long as you don't drink too much of it.
Diabetes, I think it keeps that a little bit under control. But yeah, you're right. You don't want to be sipping it all day and going crazy. But
I mean, it's just got beans, right? It's beans and water. So how bad could beans and water be, right?
And again, it matters to me as to that if it's a fair trade kind of bean, I don't want people abused so that I can eat.
Yeah, I guess that's
whether it's meat, coffee, or anything else.
All right, our next topic, are you a hugger, are you a kisser, or are you a handshaker? I guess everybody is one of those three, and I guess a few people are probably all three. So which one are you, Susan?
I'm probably a hugger.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I have to watch it, and I'll tell you when I became aware of it, when there were younger kids in the family, especially little boys, not anything, you know, weird or anything. I'm just saying they don't want to kiss their aunt so-and-so
or
their grandmother or everything.
Icky.
It's icky, you know, and so boys tend to not like that anyway.
Do you think boys are less likely to hug as a result of that early experience?
That could be.
Yeah.
That could be. It makes sense. I don't know if it's true, but it certainly makes sense. It's logical. But I do like to hug, but I kind of wait when I'm into the, you know, when I see somebody, if it's somebody I really know, you can sort of tell, and this comes down to, I think, reading people and paying attention.
Yeah.
And if you see somebody, you know if they're coming in for a hug and you're coming in for a hug. But if they're coming in for a handshake and you're going in for a hug.
That's embarrassing.
You know, it, not only is it embarrassing, in most cases, I'm going to guess, if I were a betting woman, you haven't paid attention to something in that moment.
Yeah, you've got to watch all the cues. They've done a big study on this business of physical contact. And I guess they've discovered that there are people have a lot of different things that they do. For example, if you're going in for a kiss,
mm-hmm.
Some people do. Apparently, there's a secondary move that goes with the kiss, and that is an arm grab. And I never thought about this before, but I think this is true. When somebody, you know, you'll meet someone and they'll come up to give you a little cheek kiss, they do. They grab your arm to show you that they're coming in for it.
Okay, now I'll tell you what I don't like about kissing.
Yeah.
I don't mind kissing people, but I generally, if I kiss somebody on the lips, it's my husband.
Oh, never. I would never kiss
I don't
want to
kiss somebody on the lips.
Never.
Some
do you know people who do that? Who does that? Oh, my God.
There are people that want to kiss everybody on the lips. And I'm thinking, no, I don't think so.
Well, my mother-in-law.
It's an air kiss then,
my
right?
mother-in-law used to do that. Mm-hmm. It took me a minute or two to get used to that. That was unusual. Yeah.
But also, don't you think some of this comes from different families and cultures?
Yes.
For example, on my dad's side, all Italian. Mm-hmm. And they're always hugging. You know, there's no situation where I would see a cousin, even a cousin I'm not particularly close to, that I wouldn't
not
at
hug.
Least
well, hug hugging them. Has become a much more common thing.
Yeah, you know, I think hugs are okay.
Used to be guys would not hug each other. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, it seems like, you know, after a dinner party or something where there could be 10 people and half of them you don't really know that well. Mm-hmm. By the end of the evening, it would be inappropriate. It would be impolite of you not to hug them all.
Also, professional situations. If you go to the company Christmas party, that's where I think you have to be super careful.
You
because
don't kiss, no kissing.
It could end up with some, you know, sexual harassment thing or something inappropriate. And so at that point, I would think, when in doubt, cut it out. You know, just don't even bother. Just, you know.
Now, when you see somebody that you're going to interact with, and obviously you're coming toward them on the sidewalk, and you haven't seen them in a while, do you initiate the handshake, hug, or kiss, one, two, or three, or do you watch and see what they do and then you mirror that?
Depends on who it is.
Mm-hmm.
See, again, I think it goes back to the relationship. If it's somebody that you were very close to and it's just you've grown apart just because of situations in your lives, but you stay in touch or you'd love to see them again, there would be a big hug.
They did a little research at Oxford and Finland's Aalto University, and they asked more than 1,300 men and women from 5 countries to kind of indicate the parts of their body that they would allow particular people to touch, and then what parts were completely off limits. And as it turns out that women in general are more comfortable being touched than men, just in general.
That's not a surprise.
Yeah. And of course, well, this is weird, but it says here that there were some unexpected findings that men would rather be touched on their genitals by a casual female acquaintance than by their own mother. I think that's the weirdest little statistic. I don't think that's something you do in a social situation with anybody, so I can't.
You
quite
know, somebody ought to put me on a payroll to do some of these studies.
I know. The study also revealed that Italians were less comfortable with being touched than Russians.
Now, I find that strange.
Yeah, because you think of Italians as very huggy, right?
Exactly.
And you think of Russians as cold.
Yeah.
That's a movie myth, I think.
Yeah, well, it may be a myth, and it also may be that, you know, this is just being stereotyped and we don't know. I mean, that's why I say there's individual differences and all, but I think culturally, I think, and I'm only speaking for my own family, I think I can't think of too many people in my family on the Italian side, on my dad's side, that wouldn't be greeting me with a hug.
Well, we've learned a lot from this discussion, and in fact, we do know that next time you and I see each other, wherever it may be, we will not hesitate to give each other a hug. It will not be a kiss on the lips. but it won't be a handshake either. Susan Sikora, once again, another fun week at olderandwiser.com for all the news for baby boomers and beyond. And don't forget to be on our Twitter feed. Older and Wiser TV is our Twitter handle, and you can check out the tweets of all your favorite celebrities right there. So thanks for joining us. Thanks, Susan.
Okay, thank you, Bob.
We'll see you again next time.